Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Praise the Lord and Merry Christmas, friends. Hasn't this been a wonderful service? Thank you so much, musicians, for helping us today and worshiping the Lord on this wonderful Christmas day. I want to conclude our time this morning by taking a few moments to call your attention to a passage of Scripture that isn't quite as familiar as some of the other Christmas accounts. It actually occurred 8 days after Jesus was born. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for this gospel reading from Luke's account of the gospel, chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Please be seated. So Simeon is a righteous and devout Jew who's waiting for the consolation of Israel, which is another way of saying that he was waiting for the Messiah. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would actually see the Messiah before he died. So as Joseph and Mary entered the temple to fulfill their vows, this old man, Simeon, approached them and reached out his arms for their baby. Now, have you ever been there as a parent? You have this new, incredibly cute baby, and a complete stranger comes up and oohs and ahs over your child. How do you respond when an elderly man wants to hold your baby? I can see Mary looking over to Joseph for a little help as to whether or not she should hand over her precious child to this old man she had never seen before. But something must have eased her mind, because Mary handed this baby Jesus to Simeon. And Simeon, I don't know if he did a kintu kinte kind of a thing or what, but he held up the child and blessed the Savior. And then he prayed and he gave thanks to God for allowing him to see this child that would reveal the true nature of God to God's people. And in essence, he prayed, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready to die. You could take me home now. It's been worth the wait." And then Simeon made some prophetic statements, which we'll get to in just a minute. I just wish I had a video of what transpired at that moment. I can only imagine the joy and the wonder that Simeon experienced as he held in his arms this Messiah that he had waited for so many years. I picture him throwing his head back and beginning to sing this song of praise. So beautiful, it's come down through the centuries as the final and the climactic song of Christmas. The song's called the Nunc Dimittis, or Now Dismiss, which is the first line of the song in Latin. The song goes like this: "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." So Simeon knows the long wait is over. Years of anticipation have been fulfilled. He has personally seen the Lord's Messiah. And he says, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, I just love this passage of scripture. There are quite a few lessons that we can glean from it, but I'm going to focus on just two this morning. First is the very obvious lesson that Simeon teaches us, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, at first glance, what he says about Jesus isn't new. He talks about salvation. And that note has already been struck in the various Christmas songs we've already looked at. We know that Jesus' name means salvation, Jehovah saves. We've heard Mary sing of God, my Savior, and Zechariah praise God for raising up a horn of salvation who would deliver them from their enemies. Even the angel told the shepherds that a Savior has been born. And so we're not at all surprised when Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation. But there's a new note here. He says this gift of salvation has been prepared for all nations. And then he calls this baby a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And even though the angel had told the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, they might have just assumed that he was talking about the people of Israel. But here it's as clear as can be. Israel's glory is that the Messiah comes through them, but he's not coming just for them. It's for the Gentiles, for you and me as well. You see, many in the nation saw that the Messiah only as one who is going to throw off the yoke of Roman oppression and reestablish Israel as this great nation. But Simeon sees that this Messiah is being revealed to all people. And he clarifies that in verse 32, calling the Messiah a light. He will dispel darkness and confusion and reveal the truth. And Simeon says this light will be a revelation to the Gentiles. He reveals that God's love extends to every human being on the face of the earth. Now, what the nation of Israel was called to do was to take that light to the ends of the earth. That is now being fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus came to shine a light of revelation of God into every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. All people are included in his coming. He didn't come for just a small select group. He came as a Savior for all. Now, we know that. We know that Christ came to be the Savior for all people. Many of us here, most of us here probably, can testify this morning that he has saved us and he has brought us eternal life. But you know, many people don't know that. They don't know the hope and the joy and the love and the peace of Christmas because they don't know Jesus. They haven't heard the good news and they need to be told. And we can be ones to tell them. People all around us need to hear of the grace that Jesus offers, how he can supply our needs and the love that he has for each one of us. But there's another lesson that I want you to see in this passage. Jesus is the great divider of the human race. For the first time in Luke's gospel, a dark thread is woven into this bright tapestry. Look again at verses 33 to 35. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too. Now, Simeon says that Jesus would become a litmus test for the people of God. Based on how people respond to Jesus, either in faith or in rejection, their true colors with God will come shining through. And Simeon's prophecy views the coming of Christ as revealing the hearts of people, of dividing them, so that on account of him, some will rise, some will fall. Now, in predicting that Jesus will be a controversial, divisive figure, people will have to make a decision about him. And as they do, they will reveal their hearts. Some will oppose Jesus. I mean, there will be the leaders of the Jewish nation who will oppose him vehemently because he challenges the system that has brought them power and privilege. They don't want a Messiah like Jesus because it will cost them. So their hearts will be revealed that they're not really devoted to God and his cause, but they're devoted to their own positions of power. Some, like Mary and Joseph and Simeon in this story and others, will come with open hearts to what God is doing, and their hearts will be revealed as they seek to follow Jesus. Simeon is saying that Jesus will not be someone that people can remain neutral about. He will force them to make a decision. Now, more pointedly, Simeon's words prepare Mary for the grief that she will suffer, as the rejection of her son by men will cause her to witness his death on the cross. And truly, that's a sword that will pierce her soul. She will feel a mother's pain as she watches her son suffer rejection and die. But I think that sword also reflects the pain anyone who identifies with Jesus feels as the world rejects what Jesus has to offer. I think Simeon's remark to Mary is an aside, but it's an important one, since it shows that identifying with Jesus can have painful consequences. Now, we know the story. In the end, hatred took full control and Jesus was arrested. He was put on trial as a seditious blasphemer. He was flogged within an inch of his life, leaving his skin in tattered ribbons. And after the trial, he was condemned to die. And in the end, Mary stood by and watched her son die this agonizing, brutal, bloody, inhumane death. And amid the gore of the crucifixion, Mary stood by her son. She's unable to staunch the flow of blood. She is unable to wipe his brow, even unable to even hold his hand. And it all happened just as Simeon had predicted. When Mary watched her son die, a sword pierced her soul. Do you notice how Simeon put it? Because of Jesus, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Underline that in your mind. With Jesus, there is no neutrality. No one can ever come face to face with Jesus Christ and remain the same. Every time you see Jesus, you will either be drawn closer to him or you will move further away. You know, it's popular in America to sit on the fence regarding the person of Jesus. It's popular to call him, oh, a good teacher, a good person, a great moral example, and so on. Simeon is saying, no, you can't do that. You have to make up your mind about Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, or he's not. And if he's not, then he's the greatest fraud in human history and worthy of our deepest scorn. Because if Jesus is not the Son of God, then he's either a liar or he's a nutcase because he claimed to be the Son of God. But if he is, then the only possible response is to bow down and worship him. I think that's what Simeon's getting at. This little baby who is the glory of Israel, who is the light of the world, is also the great divider of the human race. You're either on one side or the other regarding Jesus. You don't stay in the middle. The way you respond to Jesus reveals what's in your heart. Think about it. The way you respond to Jesus tells us who you are, what's in your heart. Jesus was and is the great divider of humankind. I mean, think about, there's Herod and there's the wise men. One tried to kill him, the other worshiped him. Then there's Peter who repented and Judas who committed suicide. There's Pilate who tried to wash his hands and the centurion who said, truly, this man is the Son of God. There's one thief who blasphemed and another thief who believed. From the beginning of his life to the very end, Jesus divided the human race. And he forces us to decide. It's in Jesus that God is working out his purposes and his promises. It is through Jesus that he is rescuing the world from what destroys us, our own sinfulness. It is Jesus who will be exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Therefore, we must decide about him. So the call to you and me on this Christmas day is to look at this baby Jesus, this story, with an expanded understanding of who he is and decide, what are we going to do with Jesus? And if you've never come to the point of concluding that Jesus is the one that you need to believe in and trust because it's in him that God's salvation is found, then that is the decision that Jesus puts before you this very day. Will you trust and obey Jesus, or will you ignore him and deny him? Robert Boyd Munger closes a familiar recounting of Jesus' life with these words. What do we do with this man, Jesus, if he is not the Son of God and Savior of mankind? Then let us get down to the bitter business of adjusting to a grim and hopeless world. If he is, then let us give him the full measure of our loyalty and love. I'd like us to close our service by singing, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. We'll sing verses 1, 4, and 5.